Evander Holyfield, welcome to the Sounds of Success.
Thank you.
You know, it's great to have you with us. I'm really excited to bring your words on spirituality, success, and human potential to the martial arts industry. So let's dive right into it. Mr. Holyfield, I know you're a man of tremendous faith. Has your pursuit of boxing mastery been a journey that has led you to something bigger than boxing, maybe God, perhaps?
Well, yes, it has. And because it, I guess because it takes faith to actually to be successful, because you have to believe in something before it is. And with me, by me not knowing what possible could happen to me anytime I get in that ring, it brought a lot of fear. And by me had to read the Bible, because the Bible said fear not. Mm-hmm. So I kept praying, asking God, how can I not fear when I don't know what possible could happen? You can win sometime, you can lose sometime, but as a kid, you don't want to take a chance of losing. So a lot of time it prohibits people from getting their best, because people don't want to give their all if their all is not going to win. And so, with my grandmother and my mother, they allowed me to overcome it by praying. Mm. And so to be the man that I am is have a lot to do with my faith in the Word of God.
Mm. And on that note, martial arts instructors often see the potential in kids. In fact, your mother believed in you at a very early age, perhaps more than you believed in yourself at the time. How much of a difference did her early belief in you make in your future success?
Well, it was actually, your beginning is so important. Because I knew my mother loved me, and my mother will always, she kept me from being a quitter. If it, wasn't for my mother, I would have been just like the neighborhood. Meaning that a lot of time we as people, we want to do what everybody else do. If everybody else work hard, we'll work hard. But a lot of time when people are not working hard and being distracted, you tend to get distracted too. But I had a mother that kept me on that path, because she learned from her mistakes, and she didn't want me to make the same mistake that she made. And she knew that what my life would be if she allowed me to do other things that everybody else did. It was important to her. This is the way that you're going to be. I'm your mother. I'm not everybody else's mother, but I'm your mother, and I'm going to make sure you do this. So that foundation was very firm.
Mm-hmm. So she was a great role model for you, like many of the martial arts instructors are out there for the kids that they teach. Mr. Holyfield, one year I was at the Battle of Atlanta with some of the executives from Coca-Cola, as well as the great gospel singer Melba Moore, and you were at the table right next to us. I noticed that you were watching the martial arts show very closely that evening, and you really seemed to enjoy it. Are you a fan of the martial arts?
Well, yes, I am, because, martial arts is have a lot to do with discipline, and to be successful in anything, you have to have the discipline down, and I understand most so than a lot of other people, because I came from a very disciplined family where that they really worked hard in trying to be the very best they could be.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of discipline in martial arts. We've just completed an extensive interview on negotiation with your good friend and fellow martial artist, Jim Thomas. Sir, if you want to achieve success in business, how important is it to have a guy like Jim Thomas on your team?
Well, it is. I'm saying, life's about trying to find people that both people find the common thread, meaning that Jim is a guy that very disciplined, came from an athletic background. And a lot of time when you find people, a lot of time when they don't come from an athletic background, not all, but a lot of them who don't, they become a little envy sometimes. Mm-hmm. But when a person come from a background where that they know what working hard and they're not insecure, they know how you only get things out of life and what you put into it. Mm-hmm. And it tend to be easy for people who grew up in sports and all that. Then if they get knowledge, they know how to apply that knowledge. They apply that knowledge just as they did in sports. And you know, with Jim, he's very aggressive, but he's not reckless. He know when to pull back and all this. And but that's what sports do. You know what I'm saying? By him being in martial art himself, mm-hmm. he knew that a big part of his martial art was to pull back. If you doing, you know, you're not supposed to strike with full force, you have to be able to restrain yourself. And a lot of time when you are actually helping somebody else out, and you teaching them, of course, if you hit them too hard, then they ain't going to learn. They're going to say, wow, look, shoot, I'm going to get hurt. And, you know, so it, you know, with Jim and his way of doing things was great. He, you know, it's just good to have people who are well-rounded. You know, one thing is to be highly educated. Another thing is being able to not take advantage when you can take advantage, but being able to do things in a more of a subtle way.
Mm. Jim mentioned to me that often when he was negotiating with Don King, he had to use a lot of self-control. Would you agree with that?
Well, you actually, not just with Don King, with a lot of people, with Don King may test people a little more so than other people because, you know, his way of lifestyle. Mm. And I'm sure with Don, he would test it a lot, and you know, and being able to not being drawed on inside, you know, when someone can get you, if someone on purpose trying to get you angry, and they get you angry, then they win it because that was their purpose to get you angry, and you know, with Jim, he learned how to, you know, I guess in life. You know, people do business different ways, and everybody trying to pull you over in their way of thinking to win is to their advantage. Mm. And Jim was able to understand sometimes this is what Don King would do.
Yep, Jim is a master in more ways than one. You know, martial arts instructors are coaches, among many things. Your first coach was Carter Morgan. What was the greatest impact that Mr. Morgan had on you as a youth?
Well, for one thing is that Mr. Morgan, I guess he was able to show me that I'm looking at things now as an adult,
mm-hmm.
but you know, as a kid, it was quite different. You know, when a person talking about faith, when they talking about, you know, my coaches always tell me, you're good. And, you know, and I would be kind of disappointed in my performance because I didn't win. Now, you know, as a child, you think good is you winning every match. But my coach told me, you know, when I didn't do well, I ain't do as well as I wanted because mm-hmm. he said I did well. But it's obvious that I didn't do as well as I wanted to because I thought doing well is to win each and every time. And every time that I would fall short, you know, I would cry and I would threaten to leave. And, but, you know, with my mama said she didn't raise a quitter, and with him. And he said, oh, it's just like practice. You know, a lot of times when you practice, you don't do as well, but you continue. Eventually, you'll do well. So here's a man that encouraged me so many times. Every time a shortcoming, and I have a shortcoming, meaning I didn't do as well as I like, he wouldn't think about giving up. He wouldn't think about just you know, like a kid. Scratch, they make a bad mark on the paper, and they throw it, they crumb it up and throw it in the trash can, throw it away. He could have thrown me away a lot of time, but he chose not to.
He stuck and, with you.
Yeah, he stuck with me, and it encouraged me. And even before I became the person that I am today, I heard him tell many of people, this man going to be the best fighter in the world.
Mm.
Out of the South, there ain't going to be nobody better than him. Now, and this man said this so many times, I was embarrassed. I was embarrassed because when at the time that he was telling them that how good I was going to be and what I was going to become, I was an amateur fighter, and I wasn't winning the tournaments.
Mm.
I was giving my all, but I wasn't winning the tournaments. But eventually, when I came 19 out of the Southeast, when you heard the name Evander Holyfield, people said, oh, I ain't getting in that weight division. And, you know, it's... But, you know, but at the time that he said that, I was 11 and 12.
I see. You know, in one of his songs, your friend LL Cool J says, man made the money, money never made the man. Now that you've achieved financial freedom, do you agree with this and why?
Well, I agree with that quote, because you have to be more than what money is. Like, you know, you're as an individual, you produce money because of your hard work. Is money made you, then that means that somebody can buy you and you won't even want to work no more.
Mm.
But if you control money, then this is your discipline, the part that says certain things I won't do for money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not gonna get out of here and get on the table just because I got a nice body for some money.
Mm-hmm.
It's just certain things I won't do for money. I would say no thank you. Like sometimes people get kind of upset because I don't do the autograph, and they say, wow, I pay you. I said, no, I don't do that. I said, because I reserve my right to be able to tell you that, you know, right now at this time is not a good time for me to sign your autograph, but if you sign one person autograph, hundreds of people want the autograph signed at that time when it could be inconvenient for other people that are around me. Like, as I go to the ball game, the movies, and other people there watch the movie. They're not there to have people standing all up in front of them. And so for me to think about myself that I want to sign an autograph, then these people can't see the movie or they can't see the event. And so I have to have time where that I will sign, I have to have time where that I don't sign. And if you are starting, then somebody going to get upset. Well, why you ain't signed for my son? So, you know, with me, you know, I tell him, I said, you know, I can't do it at this time. Oh, I pay you. I said, no.
Hmm.
Oh, and I have people invite me to have a pay sign and say, well, we'll give you $50,000 coming to sign thing. I said, that ain't what I do.
Hmm. That sheds an entirely different perspective on fame. You know, you're the only four-time world heavyweight boxing champion in history, but your record is not perfect. However, Evander Holyfield has never really lost a fight because Evander Holyfield has never quit a fight. Please talk to us about why a champion should never quit.
Well, you see, one thing that people, they look at perfect in the sense of not making mistakes. But that ain't the sense of how we're brought up what perfect is. Perfect is the point aimed at. What are your goals? If you reach that goal, then you was perfect because you got where you're supposed to be. And, you know, and the reason why you don't quit, because if you quit, you won't get where you're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's the reason everybody have to each and every time set goals for themselves to where they can see that they are moving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and my own thing is that, you know, I was told that I could be the heavyweight champ of the world. But I was told that at the age of 8.
Mm.
And, you know, I wasn't told that at 28. I wanted at 28, but I was told that at 8.
Mm-hmm.
And at 8 years old, I weighed 65 pounds. But my coach told me I wouldn't always weigh 65 pounds. And my coach, I said, well, I'm 8. He said, you won't always be 8 either.
Mm-hmm.
So, but he told me, he said, if you listen and follow direction and not quit, you'll be the heavyweight champ of the world. Now, you know, of course, the age ain't in my hands. If I live, I'm going to get there. I'm going to get older. Of course, as I eat properly, I'm going to gain a little weight, too. But the things that I had something to do with is listening. And I had something to do with follow direction. I had something to do with not quit. So these three things pointed right back to yourself, what personal that you have to do. And every time I thought about quitting, I knew if I quit, I wasn't going to be the heavyweight champ of the world. Because it's not like somebody just going to give me the belt and say, you are it. You have to go in there and perform. And so you have to train. You have to prepare yourself for what you're going to be. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to have good people to help me to become the heavyweight champ of the world.
Yes, sir. You know, you always look like you're in phenomenal condition. People say he looks like he's chiseled out of stone. And I understand that Tim Hallmark was a great trainer for you. What are some of the training principles you'd recommend for martial artists that helped you to break through new barriers and get in the best condition of your life?
Well, flexibility is always important, because that allow you to have more stamina than the joy to the people. Because a lot of times when you increase in strength, sometimes your flexibility, you lose flexibility as well. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you always have to have good coaches. I'm honest and true about, I'm only as good as the people I associate myself with. And I tell people, I say, you know, with coaches and trainers and stuff, it's very important. Now, if you know more than your coach and you know more than your trainer, then you probably got the wrong coach and the wrong trainer.
That's good advice.
And because you have to have someone that you can trust in, and upon a trusting them, then you trust them to have you to do something that you don't even know yet.
I see.
And that's where a lot of people fall short at. They want somebody going to tell them to do what they know to do. Mm-hmm. But if you have somebody who's going to take you to a high level, that means they're going to take you at some things that you never done and some things that are difficult because you never done them before, and it's tiring, and you feel like, man, they just working me too hard. This ain't all worth it. But the point of it, if you trust him, you'll realize you'll do that. And, you know, because I'm one of the guys that with a guy like Tim Hallmark, he the one that kind of broke the barriers of the old-time boxing. Mm-hmm. The old-time boxing, they used to just run, and they wouldn't lift weights. They you know, it was taboo to do certain things.
Mm-hmm.
With this guy, he went to college, and he had degrees in conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
So with all that knowledge he had, and I wanted to win so bad. Look, man, I believe that you're good, and anything that you ask me to do, I would do. Mm-hmm. And I did what he asked me to do, and I stayed kind of upset a lot because he worked me so hard.
It shows.
My first title fight, you're talking about a guy that, you know, I wasn't really known for a great conditional fight in the amateur. In the third round, I would always run out of gas. Now, as a professional, I had never been over 8 rounds, and as soon as I get past that fourth round, you know, I'm dragging a little bit. But this guy got me in such great shape. I went from 8 round and fought a 15-round fight and did so great. Now, I felt like I was going to die afterwards, but I fought 15 hard rounds, and I realized, regardless of how I feel, I'm going to do what he asked me to do, and I'm going to make it. And that's just the reason why, you know, I stand today as the only guy that ever been a full-time heavyweight champ of the world.
Can you give us one example of just one thing that Tim Hallmark had you do that was just different?
Well, he had me swimming.
Swimming?
He had me swimming with a float in between my leg and had me had a vest on, punching in the water, in the deep water and stuff like that. It just looks, after, you know, actually when you punch in the water, in the deep water, and you have a life vest on, but it makes you look like most people are concerned about what somebody will think about them.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to walk up, you'd think I was drowning. You would think, I'm to God, dog, when the man going to get in there and save him? Because you're punching in the water and you're going full force and no trouble on your shoulders and all this. And it's just like, it's just a lot of different things we did. We did plyometry. He had me jumping up and down, box jumping and all this. When people said, wow, this guy's shape, my whole thing is, with no doubt about it in my mind, if I didn't have Mr. Hallmark, I probably would have did all that. I would have pushed myself to that level.
That's great. You know, martial arts and boxing are actually very similar. It's not so much about the battle, but the warrior's journey. Is winning everything, Evander, or does the journey gift us with something bigger than another victory in the ring? Your thoughts about the journey?
Well, the journey, but the journey is, a lot of, people own it. The thing that you move to in life is a disciplined thing in this journey that you learn. But winning is it's the ultimate thing that you're trying to achieve to allow you to keep going. And a lot of time when people say, winning is not everything, then why do it?
Mm.
I'm saying your goal got to you. The winning is the prize. Man, I won. I did it again. because each and every time in life, the whole big thing is get you to the point where you can win each and every time. But but each win will show you something that you achieve. And so, and sometimes, falling short show you something, because it's have something to do with what life really is about. If you stop, then the life will catch up with you. And even when you're on the top, it's always people gunning for you. So you have to actually work harder when you're a winner than you when you are not winning.
Oh, yeah.
When you are not winning, don't nobody pay attention to you. When you win, everybody's eyes are on you. They trying to figure out what makes this man so special. Why can he do this? Because the question was asked to me, how did Joe Louis was able to be the champion for 14 years, and these now today, the fighters only stay champs in 2 or 3 years.
Right.
So Joe Louis had to be better. And with me, I said no. I said the difference is that people can watch you on television. They can rewind it and back. I said they can study you a little bit more. I said back in the day, they had fights on radio, so people heard, but hearing and seeing is two different things. I said, I can pick up more when I see you doing something. I can figure out how you're doing it, more so than leaving just to my imagination.
Now, on that note, over the years, you've done extremely well with comeback fights. If you didn't succeed the first time, you succeeded in the rematch. Is that because of the technology you just described?
Well, yeah, it's because of technology, because you can find out what did you do wrong. You can see what this other guy is doing, and you can go back and make adjustments. So life is about making adjustments.
Beautiful.
I'm from you. No one, just think about, if your father came up and he did all these things and he realized that he was wrong, and he tell you, son, I don't want you to be like me. I did this, and this is what happened to me. Now, if you don't do this, your life, you got a better chance. Because that's what my mother told me. My mother told me, she said, look, these are the mistakes that I made. Son, let's work on it now. Let's not get in the habit of making these mistakes, because these mistakes will cause you to fail. And this is the reason why it's good for coaches, parents, whoever, teachers or whatever, to be able to be honest with kids. Yes, I made mistakes, But the reason why I know this right, because I made this mistake, and I'm trying to keep you from making this mistake. If you don't make this mistake, you'll be better.
Mm-hmm. That's just the truth right there. What was more challenging for you to master, boxing or living a spiritual life?
Well, you know, both of them is a journey,
mm-hmm.
meaning that both of them have a difficulties. Meaning that, of course, spiritual life is all your whole life.
Mm.
But you know, boxing is an event. You know, I do this. You know, it's just like I just get up in the morning, I run, I do this and all that. Then after that, then I'm not thinking about boxing no more. I'm all right.
Mm-hmm.
Spiritual life is you are tested every minute.
Mm.
Every minute. I'm telling you, it's how you. I'm telling. In a point of you saying hello to somebody, there's a point of do you talk to a person? You got to, in spiritual life, you got to learn how to handle people who's not right.
Hmm.
If I don't feel like going to the gym, I just don't go to the gym. But a spiritual life is not about what you feel. You have a duty. You have a duty to show love to everybody, even the people who like you, even the people that don't like you. When you have people on purpose trying to trip you up and stuff, you still have to treat them nice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you know, like you said, you have to sometimes give up your right for somebody else's wrong, and be able to show the word of God, being able to show the love of God, because you know, some of the big things that elevated me in the game of boxing was some of the spiritual principle things that I'd done.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning that when I was in the Olympics, I got disqualified for something that I didn't do.
Yep, yep.
But because I didn't have a temper tantrum and go off and all this, I ended up with one of the biggest contracts coming out of the Olympics.
That's right.
I'm telling you, even in the Tyson fight, when Tyson bit my ear,
mm-hmm.
because I forgave him and all this, it made me stand so much bigger. Now, that didn't have nothing to do with boxing. That had something to do with a spiritual principle. You have to forgive. Did it hurt? Yes, it hurt. Yes, was my ear bleeding? Yes, it was. But I still had to forgive it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the principle of the Word of God. It's what allowed me to overcome anything that happened to me,
mm-hmm.
whether they did it on purpose or not.
That shows the power of being a principle-centered individual. You know, everybody listening to this interview is a fighter within their own respective martial arts discipline. You've fought the best in the world. In your opinion, what's the difference between a good fighter and a great fighter?
Well, a good fighter would do all the things that he was taught. A great fighter would go beyond that point.
Mm-hmm.
A great fighter, he'll come to a point when he said, "Well, I'm willing to make the adjustment that's necessary to succeed."
Mm.
Meaning that it's times when I fought guys that was, of course, bigger, and the media and everybody who, what you would call, had common sense or had, they went to school and got a great education, they said, "Well, why would you put yourself in a situation that you could get hurt by Mike Tyson? He's a vicious guy. He don't did this to everybody." Great fighters don't mind taking a chance and being great.
Mm.
Great fighters don't stay in the comfort zone. They'll get out the comfort zone if it means being the very best they could be.
Mm.
And, you know, and some people say, "Oh, no. Oh, no, I'm not going to fight him because they style don't match up. I can call style make fight. I could probably lose against this guy because he's a little bit more quicker. Or this guy may be a little bit more stronger." You'll find that in an aspect, it's somebody better than you in something.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to find out where you better than him at and use that and make him fight against what you better ask, because everybody got some kind of advantage in their physicals. Because the point is that God is no perspective of person. So everybody got something that's real good. Now, you had to learn how not to get in somebody else's lane. Stay in your lane where you can use what you have. Because, you know, as, you know, in boxing, I never was the shortest person.
Mm-hmm.
I never was the tallest person. I didn't have the longest arm, but I didn't have the shortest arm either. I wasn't the fastest one, and I wasn't the slowest one, and I didn't hit harder than everybody, but I hit harder than some people. So that was nothing that I could actually complain about, because mm-hmm. the fact is I had to learn how to use what's been given to me, what God had blessed me with, use it to my advantage, and I learned to minimize my mistakes.
Mm.
If I can minimize my mistake, it's a great chance that I can win.
That's right.
And that's what people don't understand. Because when people get fatigued, they start making mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
So when you start making mistakes, then you start beating yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually, you put yourself in a position where you helping the other guy out.
Mm.
He's trying to win anyway, and now you helping him because you're making all these mistakes. So that's the difference between great fighter. Great fighter is not afraid to take chances.
Yeah, they got heart. They got a lot of heart.
Yeah. And the big thing with me, people say, how in the world, how you get that guy first? I was because, you know, when it comes down to, you know, the principle of what the Word of God say, it talk about faith.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're fearful, then you can't get where you need to be.
Mm-hmm.
And in sports, the person who get in a better position first is the one that probably going to win.
Mm.
And so, you know, so if the guy bigger than you, you think you get right there, you can get hurt. Mm-hmm. Then you ain't going to win, because you ain't going to get where you need to get, because the guy that feel that he can hurt you, he going to make you feel that whatever position you get in, he going to hurt you. So you're going to stay away from him, which you may not get hurt, but you ain't going to win.
Yeah, I hear you. I'll tell you, truer words have never been spoken. That was very, very well put. Being successful has helped you to give back to underprivileged kids. What are some of the ways you're making a positive difference in the lives of kids across America these days?
Well, I learned that everything starts at home. And I think a lot of people miss that point, meaning that if you have family, you have kids and stuff, it's important for you to raise your kids properly where someone else won't have to do your job.
Mm.
Then once you get your house in line, then you start trying to figure out how you can volunteer help somebody in these communities that you already in. Then branch out. Now I started the Holyfield Foundation. And the reason why I started that, because I grew up as a very poor kid. If it wasn't for Mr. Morgan, who worked at the Boys Club, helping me with my clothes and being able to pay for me to go to these different tournaments and stuff like that, buy my equipment,
wow,
I wouldn't be the person that I am.
Wow.
So in 1991, after I became the heavyweight champion of the world, I started the Holyfield Foundation to be able to give somebody else an opportunity that someone gave me.
Hmm.
And now we got about 30 kids in colleges and stuff that we have put in, and we building a community center to help these young people and being the very best. See, one thing in life, you cannot make nobody successful, but you can give them an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And what Mr. Morgan and these people, these coaches have done for me in life, they gave me an opportunity to be the person that I am. Now, if I didn't become this person, it would have been on me, because I was given an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people have sponsored me. I remember this, my first sponsor was this a guy by the name of Ken Sanders. He sponsored me, and that was my first sponsor. And but it was so many parents helped me, chipped in for me to go to a little different trip to Alabama, Tennessee, and things like that. And the Boys Club really, I'm talking for, you know, from the time I was 6 years old to the time I was 21, I went to the Boys Club. The Boys Club helped me. They put me on the right path. So I started a foundation where I could not just look for one person to help, but as many people that, you know, my pocketbook or I could raise money to be able to help. We, you know, and now today, because my popularity, it allowed me to go to different countries. I go to China, I've been to India, I go all the different places, and I speak about this global peace initiative that I'm a part of, this global group that we fly out to places and care medicines and things like this. And I realized that just as the word of God said, let your light so shine that people can see your good work and praise the Lord. So, because someone helped me. So I'm always going to different countries and things like this, help raising money to give someone else a better life.